Good morning. Thank you for leading those songs, leading us in worship. Especially that last song, truly a prayer song. Nearer, my God, to thee. Amen. I really worked hard on this message. I stayed up late Friday night to study for it. Well, I have to preach at Westville too, so you can pray for me. And so I knew I needed to get a lot of studying done. So I prayed. I studied Friday night till late. And by the time I was done, I scrapped it all. And so Saturday morning, I went into my study. It's really hard for me to study during the day, but Saturday morning I went into my study. And okay, Lord, what do you want me to share? And did a little research and came across a timeline that we're going to go through this morning. My original message was to take us through the Passion Week. This is Palm Sunday. It's the beginning of what we call the Passion Week. And I wanted to take us through that week, and it just did not come together on Friday night. Saturday morning, I come across the timeline. And so I totally restructured the message, and that is what we're going to do, is just go through the Passion Week. I'm afraid I might have too much information, so I will see. If we do, I'll have to scale something back so that we get done in time. Palm Sunday. I don't know what your memories are of Palm Sunday. As a child, of course, I went to the Catholic Church, and on Palm Sunday, we would come home with palm branches. They would give us that at the Catholic Church. And that's kind of my childhood memories of Palm Sunday, coming home with palm branches. We call it the triumphal entry. I preached a message actually 3 years ago on Palm Sunday here. And then I talked about the triumphal entry and who was really triumphing, because Jesus was dead and in the grave less than a week later. But in reality, he did triumph, because he triumphed over Satan, sin, and death. It just wasn't the triumph that they thought. But this morning, I thought we would go through the Passion Week. And we know that Jesus set his sights towards Jerusalem. He told his disciples, "We must needs go to Jerusalem." And he was up near Galilee when he said that. And he came down, they came down and through Jericho. And they came from Jericho down to Bethany. And Bethany was about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And they first stayed at the house of Lazarus. Later in the week, we see him staying at the house of Simon the leper, also in Bethany. So we're going to break into the timeline. That first morning, this morning, Sunday morning, Palm Sunday morning, we're going to break into the timeline as they leave that house at Bethany. And I'll explain the timeline for you. The timeline is going to look like this all the way through the week. And I've just cut snatches just to kind of go through the day. This is Sunday. The yellow line is going to be the disciples. The red line is Jesus. And the purple line is the crowds. And the dark purple is Jewish leaders. And we'll see them coming and going as we go through the week. They're up in Bethany here. Usually the evening is up here and down here. And then they come together in the temple usually. And so that's how the timeline works. So we see them leaving Bethany. And can we read the scripture together? Is that bright enough that you can read it? Can you read that back in the back? Okay, let's read it together. You know what? We're going to do a lot of reading, and so I thought I'd mix it up a little bit. Let's have the men read this portion of Scripture. The men, ready, together? Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, and he said to them, Stop for a minute. I want to do with you what I had to do at SMBI and Faith Builders. I want you to read this with meaning. When I did that with the ministers at SMBI, they read just like you did. And I said, read this with meaning. Read it like it's like you're telling a story to children. Read it with emphasis. It brings life to it, okay? Let's try it again. Are you ready? Now, when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent, go into the village opposite you. Loose it and bring it. And they loosed it. What are you doing? And we see that happening. We see this here as they're heading into Jerusalem, heading towards the temple. He sent the two disciples to go get the colt. They brought the colt to Jesus, and he began the ride. And somewhere along there, the crowds joined, and the crowds started throwing their clothes in the way of the colt and laid palm branches. And then they got to the temple. Ladies, would you want to read the next portion of Scripture? And many spread their clothes on the road. So we see, I've got a picture of the temple. Here's Bethany. This will give you an idea. This is, it's not mountainous, but it's very hilly. We would call it mountains here in Indiana, probably. But here's Bethany, and they went to Bethphage, and somewhere probably in Bethphage is where they got the colt. And they began the ride down, crossed the Kidron Valley, and came into the east side of the temple. They worshiped him. They worshiped him as a king. Hosanna. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. It looks like it's going to be a good week. It looks like it's going to be a good week. And he enters the temple. By this time, it's late. They have to go back to Bethany. It's about a 2-mile trip. So it probably took on the mule, on the colt, I'm sure it took longer. But if they were walking 3 miles an hour, remember they're up and down, they're used to walking, not like us. So it might have taken them 45 minutes or so to walk that 2 miles up and down. With the colt, I'm sure it went slower. But it was late, they wanted to get back. So all he did when he got into the temple was he looked around, it says. The hour is already late, and he went back to Bethany. We see that on the timeline now as they head back. Not much interaction here in the temple that evening. They went back to Bethany. Let's go into Monday. From 20 years old and younger, let's read. Are you ready? And remember, read like you're telling a story, all right? And that includes the children. You're younger than 20, all right? Ready? Now, the next day, hold it. Youth guys, youth girls, stand up. You're going to lead the rest of the young ones. Let's read loudly. You guys at a volleyball game, I'm confident, would be 40 times louder, all right? And 40 times more energetic. Children, follow their lead, all right? Read like they do. Let's try it again. Ready? Now, the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. You may sit down. Yes. The cleansing of the temple. Very likely, I've got another picture of the temple. Very likely, this is the royal portico, or another title for it is the royal stoa. It very likely was the place where they had the tables and the animals. And this is the outer court, the Gentile courtyard. This is the main temple here. Gentiles were not allowed in here. They were very likely changing money and had the tables underneath this little roof area here. And Jesus would have come in through this gate from the east. And, of course, he looked around the night before. But he probably headed straight over there. And he cleansed the temple. Let's have the men again read the scripture verse with this one. Are you ready? And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So there that was the day that he cleansed the temple. And from that time forward, if somebody was carrying a pot or a pan or an animal or whatever through the table, he wouldn't allow it. I don't know what he did, but it says he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then they went out the next day, or they went out and went back to Bethany. So we have that happening right here. On Monday, they went back home, spent the evening in Bethany again. And we don't know what the crowd did. They went home too. The leaders went wherever they stayed. So Tuesday morning, let's pick up and let's have the ladies read. Are you ready? Now, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree. So he had a little lesson on the way into the temple. You know, Jesus was always teaching the disciples. And so on the way into Jerusalem on Tuesday morning, he had a little lesson for them on prayer and on faith. And a lesson that obviously I'm sure they didn't forget. They get into the temple. Now remember what happened as they left the temple. Jesus had cleansed the temple the day before. And he wouldn't let anybody carry anything through the temple. Notice what happens when they arrive at the temple on Tuesday morning. Let's see, youth. youth, and you don't have to stand this time. I think you got your voices warmed up and you're awake. I want you to read this one. Are you ready? Then they came again to Jerusalem.
Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me.
Notice, they were ticked from the night before, from the day before. And then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, I mean, just as he got to the door, they were there. They were there. They were ready for him. And they thought they were going to get him. And so just as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders, all of them, came to him. They said, by what authority? So they debated his authority. And we're going to see, as you can see in the timeline, Tuesday was filled with debate and teaching. I called it topics, traps, and teachings. And the first one was, where did he get his authority? And they talked about that. And we're not going to talk about each one of these. If you want to, you can read it this afternoon. But the next one was the leased vineyard. Jesus introduced this parable to him. And men, you want to read about the leased vineyard? Ready? Therefore, what will the, and we're breaking into the middle of it, okay? We know the story, and we're just catching the parts that I felt fit what we're doing this morning, all right? So we're breaking into these stories. Ready? Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do?
He will come and destroy the vineyards and give the vineyard to others. Have you not heard that this is true? The stone which the builders rejected had become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away.
And you remember that parable when he said that the owner of the vineyard left, and he gave it to the keepers and the vine dressers, and he sent his a servant, and they killed the servant. He sent another servant, killed that. Finally, he sent his son, and they killed him. And Jesus used that to talk about the prophets and the way that they killed the prophets. And now they were going to kill his son. And it says that, have you not even read the scripture? And they knew, it says, and they sought to lay hands on him, but they feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away, and we see that happening here. But they didn't; they weren't away for long. I want to. In the next one, we're going to see what they do. All right. This was the in the last verse. It told us it was the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. All right. They left him. Look what happens in the next one. Ladies, will you read? The next one is about taxes. Are you ready? Then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words.
When they had come, they said to him,
Teacher,
we know that you are true, for you do not regard the person man, but teach the way of God to truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not?
So now they're going to debate taxes, and notice the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. That was the first group. They left, and they sent the Pharisees and the Herodians. You know, now we got the government people, all right? And that's why they're talking taxes. We're going to get this guy one way or the other. And so they debated taxes. And if we go on, they talked, the Sadducees talked about the resurrection. They asked him, what is the first and greatest commandment? And then Jesus said, when he was trying to point to his being the Son of God, he said, if the Christ is the Son of David, then why did David call him Lord? And Christ was pointing to his divinity. And then he taught them to beware of the scribes. And then they sat in the temple treasury. And that would have been right inside that, the temple part, if you remember the picture I showed you. And that was the treasury. And that's where they were. And he called his disciples and he taught them about the widow's mite. All of that took place in the temple on Tuesday. A very busy day of discourse and teaching and traps and topics. Young people and children, are you ready? Then, as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, Now, if you remember, okay, so this happens just as they're leaving the temple. Just as the disciples and Jesus are leaving the temple, the disciples ask him about the temple. Jesus, look at this temple. Isn't it just amazing? And then he tells them there's not going to be one stone left upon another. And they go out, and if you remember that map I showed you, where they cross the Kidron Valley, and they start going up, and they circle kind of the Mount of Olives, and Bethphage and Bethany. They're on the way back to Bethany. At the Mount of Olives, it seems like they stop, and Jesus, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, so maybe they stopped to rest, opposite the temple. You could see the temple clearly from the Mount of Olives. Peter, James, and John and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be? When's this going to happen? And so we have the discourse on the Matthew 24 discourse took place on the Mount of Olives Tuesday evening on their way back to Bethany. Tuesday evening at the house, let's see, it would be the men's turn to read. Men, do you want to read? And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper,
very costly oil was fine. As he rode the flask and poured it on his head, but there were some who were indignant and called themselves. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray her to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give her money. So he saw how he might immediately betray her.
So we see that happening. They get to the house, and typically they would wash feet from the walk. He sat at the table. A woman came having an alabaster, and she poured that very costly ointment on his head. And they were upset because it was very costly. Judas, at that point, leaves, and he goes to meet with the Jewish leaders. And it says that they were glad. Can you imagine how glad they were? They just got finished with this long day of traps and topics that Jesus beat them every time. They just didn't have any words. He had the answer for them every topic that they wanted to discuss. And so they were glad. Finally, they were trying to figure out how they're going to get him. Finally, one of his own is going to turn on him. And he did turn on him. And he came. And somewhere along the line, I never thought about it till I saw the timeline, he did come back because at the Last Supper, Judas was with him. So we see Judas going down and selling Jesus out and coming back to the group. And in the morning, on Wednesday morning, ladies, now, on the first day of unleavened bread,
then he will show you a large
us. So the disciples went out and came to the city and found just as he had said to them, and they prepared Passover. And he came to us.
So the story most of Wednesday is he sends two of the disciples to go and prepare for the Passover. So they go and they prepare for the Passover and they get it taken care of, Peter and John. And then in the evening, the rest of them came, Judas also, the rest of them came and they had the Last Supper. Notice that we have John, we have Peter, we have Jesus, and we have the rest of the disciples. And we have Judas at the supper for a little bit. So they're at the supper, and we know that Judas left to do his evil work. And here's the rest of the timeline. They're at the supper, and they leave. Judas leaves the supper, and he gets with the Jewish leaders, and then and they go up to the Mount of Olives to Gethsemane, and Jesus prays. Notice the disciples, he left a little bit away, but James and Peter and John were with Jesus as he prayed. And he was praying, and late in the night, probably about midnight, they came, the Jewish leaders with Judas came, and they arrested him. The disciples fled. We don't read about him anymore during this Passion Week. Jesus goes with the rulers and Judas, and Peter and John, they follow afar off. We get into the town early Thursday morning and they have the trials. Judas finally leaves and he hangs himself. Judas commits suicide because he's feeling guilty. So we have the rooster crowing and Peter leaves. And we don't read of him anymore during this Passion Week. John is still in the courtyard watching the trials. And he's with Pilate. This is Pilate's line. He's with Pilate for a while. Pilate sends him to Herod. This line here is the guards that are constantly with Jesus, the Roman soldiers. So they take him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate. We know the option to take either Barabbas or Jesus. And they said, we want Barabbas. You crucified Jesus. So there we have the Via Dolorosa, the road to Golgotha, and we have the crucifixion. We have the ladies joining, Mary Magdalene and the other ladies. They were at the crucifixion. Jesus, of course, the guards, the Jewish leaders, and the crowds were at the crucifixion. We see the Jewish leaders leaving after their dirty work is done. Pilate's gone. Joseph of Arimathea comes on the scene and offers his grave. And before sundown, Jesus was buried in a borrowed grave. That's where we're going to leave Jesus. That's where this message ends. That's where this timeline ends today. The timeline goes on. But we're going to leave Jesus in the grave because that's where he's at this point in the week. And as you go through this coming week, this week we call the Passion Week, I want you to be mindful just for this week that Jesus is in the grave. I want you to feel what the apostles felt. I want you to feel what Mary felt. I want you to feel what Mary Magdalene, what the other ladies felt, what the disciples felt as they returned to that room. Think about Jesus being in the grave this week, not knowing that next Sunday is going to happen. Not knowing that next Sunday is going to happen. Jesus, crucified, executed. And it looks like everything has come to naught. His disciples fled. One of them committed suicide. And another one denied him with cursing. Denied him. And Jesus is in the grave. I'd like for all of us to stand because it's a holy scripture. And I'd like for us to read Isaiah 53 together. Are you ready? And again, read it with meaning. Read it with the idea of the fact that Jesus is in the grave. Who has believed our reports? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. I will divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's pray, Father God, as we consider Jesus, our Savior. Who would we have been in that crowd that week? Would we have been in the crowd that threw the palm branches down and cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest"? And just a few days later, yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Father God, we did esteem him stricken, smitten by you, and afflicted. There was no beauty or comeliness that we should desire him. Yet he was bruised for our iniquities. He was killed for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Father God, we just want to thank you for your great love. Thank you that you gave yourself, your only begotten Son, as a sin sacrifice for our transgressions. And by his stripes, we are healed. Father God, as we go through this week thinking about Jesus being in the grave, help us to look forward to next Sunday. Lord God, we just commit to you the readings of your word. Take it to our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.